Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hey, hello.
Derek.
Good day, sir.
What's happening?
I have my canoe back.
About time.
I know. I've been putting it off, putting it off, putting it off.
Didn't you hand that in to be fixed like 18 years ago? Seems like.
I dropped off at Johnny's Boat Shop up in Huntsville back last fall. After I came back from Moon River camping with the boys, I dropped it off on the way home. So that would have been October?
Wow. Yeah,
I think October.
October, November, yeah. December, January, February, March, April, May. 8 months ago,
that's
Derek!
8 months?
The fingers don't lie. You didn't see me counting those months on my fingers? That's why you have fingers, to do math.
Oh my God, it is 8 months.
Well, apparently your fingers are working. He did what you wanted to?
He did really nice work. Like, it's putting lipstick on a pig. It's a scraped up, gougy boat.
I now, the, know about that.
The best parts on the boat are the patches. So usually you look at a boat, it's like, oh, patch.
The scratches make the patches stand out.
Yes. The patches look wonderful. I don't know what he used, but it's like an epoxy fabric thing. So it's like a, it looks like fabric, mm-hmm. but it's epoxied in place and it just looks really good.
You should have asked him to scratch it up for you to match the rest of the boat. Now that is the work of an artist.
Yes.
Where's the patches? Did you actually patch it? Yes.
There's a lot of patches. There was I didn't count them, but I'm just visualizing in my head, there's 75, 76, 77. He put on skid plates. He put on two giant patches in the outside where you could stick your fingers through. And there were some holes.
Stick your fingers through?
There was holes in it.
Do you have like a Fred Flintstone canoe where you can stick your feet through or something?
There was two holes in the bottom. The skid plates covered those up. And there was two fairly large cracks on the side. And those got patch repaired. When I would go canoeing with it, I had to bail a lot. I still took it camping. You couldn't paddle for more than a couple hours, though. I have to pull over to bail it out.
Wow. I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh, yeah, it took on water.
There comes a point, my friend.
There was one of the last times I used it. It was during the Moon River trip with the boys. I was looking at this little thing. I could see some water just riffling in right at the where the skid plate would be.
Yeah.
So I'm looking down by my feet and looking at it, and I poke at it, and it's like a little flappy door. And so I poked it, and then more water started coming in. It's like, oh, crap.
I better not touch that again. So basically, when you went on trips with people, who wants to paddle with Derek? You're like the little kid left over at the end of the dodgeball teams.
It was fine.
Who wants Derek on the dodgeball team? Everybody steps backwards. Who wants to paddle with Derek? Everybody steps backwards.
It was fine.
It was fine. No, the whole purpose is to keep the water on the outside. Otherwise, it's called swimming.
And there's the skid plates. And on the inside, where the skid plates are, but on the inside, you've had to patch that. And then in the air chambers, I think there's one, two, three on the bow, three patches on the bow, and one patch on the stern. One, two, two on the stern.
Probably would have been easier just to fill it with like concrete.
He did a really good job though. Like the patches, honestly, are the best part of the whole canoe right now.
So why didn't you get him to patch the whole canoe?
It was $950 or so as it was.
Wow.
But it wasn't a $3,000 new canoe. Or no, a $3,000 used canoe. Or we stopped at, while we're up there, we went through and went to Oxtongue Lake at AO. And there's some nice boats there.
Oh, yeah.
Brand spanking new.
Was Gordon Baker there?
I didn't see him.
Okay.
I didn't see him. There was a gigantic 6 foot tall stuffed bear in his chair in his little office there. It's like I looked into his office. It was a giant teddy bear. Like it was a big teddy bear.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, oh, Gord, you have a lot of hair.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe it's a suit and he gets inside of it and has naps.
Maybe. Hey.
Right? Because Gord's not 6 foot yeah. five or whatever. Maybe he just gets in there. Yeah. Did you look for a zipper? Did you poke it?
No.
You're in there, Gord.
I didn't go in the office.
Poke, 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 poke. Yeah. Don't poke the man.
But it was nice looking at, you know, shopping for gear and all of us in there. Like the kids, Siobhan and the kids were with us. So we were checking out tents. They have a couple nice, really nice Nemo tents there right now. Looked at paddles. I didn't buy one, but I bought a nice camping jacket. There's a lot of stuff was on sale. So
'tis the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we looked at boats. Man, some of those are so nice. There's I didn't think you could put 3 seats in a 15-foot canoe, but there's a couple canoes
well,
there.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you're not going on a massive trip with a bunch of gear,
yeah.
You can definitely do that. You got 4 seats in it if you want.
Yeah, and so some of those canoes, 3-seaters, there was a 16.5 carbon Kevlar whatever, and it was on sale for $3,900 or something. Plus tax. So.
See? Honestly, I think you just missed out on the opportunity to get yourself a brand spanking new boat. Sorry, honey. They're telling me you can't fix this. How much can you get for it so I can put it towards a brand new one?
As it was, we were renting, right? So
You lost your chance. Everybody's looking at the radio right now going, you lost your chance, Derek.
It is nice.
You blew it.
It is nice to kick the tires on new canoes. There are some nice boats there.
Yeah.
And so light. Like
you didn't stop in at Swift on Highway 11?
No, I didn't. No. We weren't up that way.
I go through there every chance I can. But then there's other days where I'm like, yeah, I better just keep on going.
Keep on going.
It's nice to look at there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nice to have. Nice to see. Nice to hold.
Yeah.
But if you break it, consider it sold.
Yeah.
I only went up to Swift to look at a canoe once.
And you came home with one.
And I ended up coming home with one.
I think I went with you when you were shopping for it, or was I with you when you picked it up?
Picked it up.
Yeah.
Because Ariano came with me and we were up looking.
Yeah.
Right, because I just contemplated how much are they and what's new, and then ended up, yeah. Because I took a picture of it and sent Tracy a picture saying, I bought you a new canoe seat.
Look at this beautiful seat.
It just happens to be attached to a canoe, a brand spanking new Prospector 16. Well, apparently I'm not in the doghouse for that anymore. So
there you go.
Time for a new one.
Push the limits.
Let's just poke the bear. Yeah,
keep her on her toes.
Right? So what's new besides that?
Besides that, small things like maybe a riverside brawl?
Over in India. Rafting. And this is not the first time we saw this.
No.
There's probably a good dozen rafts there.
Yep.
Whole bunch of tourists and guides. Now, they didn't actually say in the article what happened, but in the comments, somebody had said that tourists were asked not to drink, and there was a bunch of them drinking on shore and getting, I guess, belligerent or something about it.
Yeah.
And the guides finally had enough.
But it wasn't just guides.
Well, it started with the guides.
Yes.
And the paddles started swinging.
Boy, did they ever.
You would swear there was a sword fight going on with paddles. And, they were hammering people and...
Like, the level of violence that I saw in that video was like, whoa, that's like a little over the top. Like, you know, you see somebody, you know, getting into a kerfuffle. This was not a kerfuffle.
Oh, this was beyond kerfuffles. Oh. If that happened over here, there'd be lawsuits up the ding-dong.
Yeah, people would be in jail.
The happiest people in that video were the people in the 3 rafts out in the water already.
Already in the water.
That were already.
I'm glad I'm not on shore.
Turning around going, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, there's so many people there, and you can see these rafts on the water. So it looks like they were just starting their day. So there's a bunch of, or starting at least one of the runs because there was dozens of people on shore.
Yeah.
And it looks like they were just loaded. Some rafts were coming down to the water. Some rafts were in the water loading up, and then, it all broke loose.
Yeah. There's unbelievable, the violence. Yeah.
I was
people. And there was one guy in a raft. Somebody was just offshore. Like,
yeah.
And dude was in the water, and the guy in the raft with the paddle was hammering the guy's head.
Yeah. And he's in the water. It's like taking, he can't even protect himself. He's in the water trying to, most of them were wearing helmets, which is good. Yep. But a couple of the guys getting whacked did not have helmets on. But
there's one guy who just threw the paddle like a spear.
Yes.
Like, I bet you're regretting that now. Because he had nothing to fight back
at that point. He lost his weapon.
I forgot it wasn't pointy. It was a blade, but not, like a sword blade.
It was just a little bit over the top. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know, like, to have that level of anger, like...
I got to think something else went on, but that's, like I said, we can only go by what was in the comments and
like you're whatnot. Used to seeing people fight, but you can see them holding back. Mm-hmm. There's always a level of holding back.
Not there.
They were not holding
there
back.
There was not holding
like
back.
Like full on swinging the paddle like it was like a broad axe. It was like, here we come.
Right?
It was like, whoa.
And that's not the first time we've seen it.
No. And it probably won't be the last.
No. So, I was on the internet.
As you are.
Being a smartass.
Uh-oh.
Someone posted, in the midst of chaos, let's find comfort in the things we love. Share a picture of something that warms your heart and makes you smile. Let's choose happiness. There are, like... dozens and dozens and dozens of people.
Dogs and cats.
Yeah, cats, dogs, flowers, babies, horses, sunsets. Some dude who shall remain nameless posted a picture of a box of donuts. dog, cat, baby, horse, plants, donuts.
How many likes on that one?
Lots. I know there's people going, oh, can I change my answer?
Those donuts look so good.
I gotta be me. It's one in every group, and hi, I'm the one. There can only be one.
Yep.
Hang on. I got it right here. The North Bay Mattawak canoe race.
Oh, yes.
Happened. Oh, can't remember when it ended. It's on this week as we record. It's on today. The Texas Water Safari is happening.
Yep. Texas Water Safari is right now.
Yep. So the 64 kilometer trek with 5 mandatory portages, average water levels, Mattawa Island, to Mattawa Island, I guess, from North Bay.
So it was mostly people from Ontario, a couple of people from out of province, and one group from the U.S.
Yeah. So, great time. Apparently, everybody had a good time. There was 3 records broken.
Yeah.
So, fastest overall time, finishing with a time of 6 hours, 3 minutes, 33 seconds. Breaking the previous record of 6 hours, 17 minutes, and 36 seconds. So that's like 15 minutes off that record. Open kayak category, time of 6 hours, 28 minutes, 47 seconds. Previous record, 6 hours, 32 minutes, 32 seconds. So that's like 4 minutes off that record. And open stand-up paddleboard category, time of 7 hours, 5 minutes, 42 seconds, breaking the previous record of 7 hours, 23 minutes, and 57 seconds.
That time's not far off the kayaks, and you know what I mean? Like, you think of a kayak as
that's a good half hour past.
Yeah.
The kayaks, yeah. But the kayaks and the kayak is one-person kayaks versus a two-person canoe.
But you think of those as pretty fast watercraft.
Yeah.
And somebody doing a stand-up paddleboard, doing not much longer, that's pretty incredible.
Half hour, well, 37 minutes slower than a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, 7 hours just chugging it there.
I know, right?
Wow. So, the North Bay to Mattawa canoe race, that happened on the weekend, and Looks like, yeah, everybody had a fantastic time. Mm-hmm.
And three records broken. That's incredible. Like, yeah. You think of an event like that, you might break one record maybe. It's just because things are pretty tight these days. So yeah. These things have been run enough. And, yeah, three records dropped that day.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Oh, the one's only by 4 minutes, so chances are it'll get broken again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other couple,
mm-hmm.
20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 yeah. minutes, 15 minutes. The other thing that happened, D-Day.
Oh, yes.
Paddlers from the Royal Marines marked D-Day 80th anniversary, paddling 90 nautical miles across the English Channel overnight to northern France.
Yep.
Setting off in two-person Klepper folding kayaks, 4th of June from Portsmouth. The momentous challenge was completed by the morning of the 5th of June after safely crossing the English Channel and arriving at Port-en-Bessin. Group paddled onto the Allied opposed landing beach heads by Normandy, beginning with the American sectors, Utah and Omaha, culminating with the British and Canadian sectors, Gold, Juno, and Sword. Team was made up of 9 serving and 8 veteran Marines, 2 former Hassler Naval Recovery Center members, and the Royal Marines charity vice patron Keith Breslauer. The idea came from Lee Waters and Joe Maynard, who formed the RMA Paddle Sports Group, to support serving and former military personnel and led the expedition of 9 folding boats. Now, we talked about Kleppers before regarding mm-hmm. World War II when they did the nighttime paddle across and then into and then started
up
putting
river.
Mines
yes.
on the sides of German boats yep. in the French ports, and then had to escape, and only a couple of them actually made it all the way back. The Kleppers were, yeah, big time used during that period of time. Speaking from Normandy after completing the challenge, Lee Waters said, "Myself and Joe came here 5 years ago in a folding boat, and it just gave us the idea that we should paddle the channel for one of the significant celebrations, such as the 80th anniversary, and paddle all of the beaches. It's been such an amazing and unique experience to be part of." The RMA Paddle Sports Group is formed of veteran and serving commandos from across all 3 UK services, the Royal Navy, the Army, and the Royal Air Force. Why don't they call it the Royal Army?
Good question, because mm-hmm. in Canada we do that.
The Royal Navy Paddle Sports Association is a Paddle UK affiliated club. Normandy Landings in 1944 is the largest seaborne military operation in history. D-Day is recognized as the beginning of the liberation of France and the rest of Western Europe, which laid the foundations for the Allied victory of the Second World War.
Hmm.
So pretty cool that they celebrated by paddling the Klepper straight across the channel and hit all the beaches. Yep. Which is pretty cool. But, yeah, that happened over the weekend as well.
It was, what, 80th? Yeah, this is 80th anniversary.
Anniversary, yeah. They were saying, oh, they've gone from, was it like over 1,000 veterans from World War II down to like just a handful
left. Yeah, there's not too many left.
There's just a few left. There's one guy that was... Oh, I wish I could remember. He had to be in his 90s somewhere
mm-hmm.
that was there and walking across. He had help walking on the beach.
Yeah.
Well, and there was another guy that was heading there, and he passed away on the trip over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's I mean, it's huge for them to come over again, right, and see this.
There's not too many left. Because at the time, you think about it, they'd be like the youngest would be 17, 18 years old, whether you're in the Navy or Army or Air Force or whatever. any of the youngest would be that age. So now, 80 years later, they'd be 98.
Yeah.
Right? The youngest would be 98.
You're always complaining, but you're too old. I'm too old for this. This next one is directed at you, my friend. Any little dig I can get. At an age where many, like Derek, would be content to stay at home,
hey,
Kenny Stevens has finally
on this page.
Fulfilled his dream of kayaking the entire length of the Murray River at 91. And Derek, a mere 55.
That's 2,500 kilometers.
That's like 40 years past you. A 2,500 kilometer journey, or as Kenny says, 2,400 and something kilometers, raising money for a cause close to his heart. But it's taken a while. He started back in 2019, but rough conditions on Lake Alexandrina, then COVID, cut his attempt short, his first attempt. By the time I got to Lake Alexandrina, I was exhausted and couldn't go on, he said. I rested for a couple weeks thinking I'd go back, but then COVID came along. On April 21st, Kenny dipped the kayak back into the river for the final leg of his paddle from Wellington to the Murray Mouth. I promised myself all the way down through bushfires and floods, pulling my kayak over shallows, that I'll dip the kayak in the Southern Ocean, and I honored that promise, he said.
Impressive.
91 wow. years yeah. old, Eric. Did I mention that?
Yes, yes, you did.
Welsh-born Kenny started in October 2019 at Bringin Brong in New South Wales, kayaking for 94 days to reach the Murray Mouth. It was a lifelong affirming experience. What I liked about it, and I didn't envision this, was that there's sort of a contact that's established between you and the river, and existentially the people who live by and on the river. The contact is there whether you initiate it or not. He recalls the kindness of strangers on his first leg. One particular day, I did about 25 kilometers in 40-degree heat. I had my water with me, and there was no fear of dehydration. But gee, it was tough. In the middle of the afternoon, I just aimed my kayak onto the bank, gave a couple of hard paddles, and let it come up on the bank. And I just dropped my head in absolute exhaustion. After a couple minutes, there was a tap on my shoulder, and there was a guy who'd come out, seen me, come out of his house, and brought down an ice-cold beer for me. I said, "Oh, thank you very much indeed. You must be God." Kenny recalls another time when two kind souls got into an argument over whose tent was better to give away to the complete stranger.
No, mine's better. Take right? mine.
But you know what? That's everybody we've talked to who said, like, Mike Rant and that, who've paddled across Canada or huge distances, mm-hmm. have said the exact same thing.
Yep.
People see you out there, and when they start chatting with you and see how far you've come and how far you're going, there's that whole level of friendship and and wanting to help out that comes out, right? Everybody's always said that.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny arrived in Wellington February 2020 before forces beyond his control stopped him. But mission now accomplished, he said he would absolutely recommend the journey to other seniors, like Derek. I should have wrote that in there, too. When you put your kayak in and you're paddling downstream, let's face it, you don't even need to paddle. Just get out in the middle and kick back and have a snooze, because the current will take you down a lot slower than you ought want to go, but you're not battling any currents at all. Kenny has a whiteboard with his goals, including the quote. And I put this on our Facebook page.
I saw that, yeah.
"Live like someone's left the gate open," which has become his mantra, his life mantra. I like that quote.
Yeah, yeah.
"I've had a real difficult time throughout my life being accepted," he said. "As a child, I went to boarding school away from home in Wales to London. I wasn't accepted by the fraternity there because I was small and my father was Jamaican. So that live like somebody left the gate open is just me telling myself to go for it. I'm 91 now. I never thought I would be living, never mind kayaking the Murray, yet here I am." Royal Navy veteran and father of six, Kenny's always loved adventure. "I'm an ex-serviceman from the Korean War," he says. "I have seen two atomic blasts during the Montebello Island tests off Western Australia, and I was in the Suez Canal crisis in 1956, in the last naval battle stopped by naval gunfire. I've had a depth of experience, but there's life in the old dog yet." Kenny took up kayaking in his 40s after taking outward bound courses while working as a probation and parole officer.
Huh.
See, he only started 10 years earlier than you.
Yes.
Than you are now. I've always been rather prepared to just jump off into the unknown, he said. And when I did the five-day course taking offenders up and just paddled sections of the Murray, the bug bit me really hard, and I've been kayaking ever since.
We're like twins.
Right? See? Only difference is you're not 91 yet. See, there's still time for you,
Derek.
There's still life for that old dog. Come on, live like somebody's left the gate open, Derek. Go for it. Just grab that paddle and go. Where's Derek? I haven't seen him in 3 months. Don't know.
I think he's dead.
He's dead. He went for it, didn't make it. He ran like the gate was open, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
He tripped. Tripped on the curb. As Derek laying out on the sidewalk. Yeah, goes to show you, buddy. 91 years of age.
Yeah. Derek went to play like the gate was open and he got trampled by horses.
Right, there you go. He took his leaky boat. Forgot to take the one that was fixed. Oh, man. Harvard, the big old university, paddling a kayak, canoe, or paddleboard relies on muscles we likely haven't used much during the winter.
Yep.
And this is perfect for this because everybody's getting, if they're not out already, getting started.
A lot of people are out already.
And you get out there after your first trip and you're like, oh, I haven't used these. Jeez. Yeah. Next spring, let's pick a first trip that has like no portages. Right? Does that sound familiar, Derek?
Yep.
It sure does. Kathleen Salas, a physical therapist with Spalding Adaptive Sports Centers at Harvard-affiliated Spalding Rehabilitation Network, says even if you regularly weight train, the continuous and repetitive motions involved in paddling require endurance and control of specific muscles that need to be properly stretched and strengthened. When I used to go to the gym for those, like, 2 years, I used to hit that rowing machine all the time just to get that sort of, but I would actually turn sideways with it.
Oh, okay.
Each way to sort of
imitate,
I guess, like paddling.
Yeah.
But with resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I looked cool. Said no one ever at the gym. I think it was the thong I was wearing that they took offense to. Oh,
no doubt.
You're just imagining it in your mind now. While paddling can be a whole body effort, even your legs contribute, three areas do the most work and thus need the most conditioning: the core, back, and arms and shoulders. The core, your core comprises several muscles, but the main ones for paddling include the rectus abdominis,
your six pack,
the obliques, located in the side and front of your abdomen. The core acts as the epicenter around which every movement revolves, from twisting to bending to stabilizing your trunk to generate power.
I've got a 2-4. You've got a 36 pack.
I do. Actually, I don't. I've got a 6 pack and a couple of dozen donuts.
Covered up by a little laundry.
Right? Paddling engages most of the back muscles, but the ones that carry the most load are the latissimus.
Latissimus dorsi
muscles, sure. Whatever. Like I say, I go to the gym all the time. Yeah. I know all these words. Trust
latissimus.
Me.
Latissimus. They call them lats.
Also known as lats. And the erector spiny. That was it. I looked this one up and there was like four different ways to say it.
Yeah.
So I wrote down here spiny. The lats are the large V-shaped muscles that connect your arms to your vertebral column.
Your wings.
Yeah. They help protect and stabilize your spine while providing shoulder and back strength. The erector spiny, a group of muscles that runs the length of your spine on the left and right, helps with rotation. Your arms and shoulders. Every paddle stroke engages the muscles in your arms, your biceps, and the top of your shoulder, the deltoids.
Most people, or I know for myself, after a first trip of the year, after the first day in, I know all of these muscles, they're in my head, they're all called pain. Oh, that's my pain muscle. Oh, there's a pain muscle. Yeah.
I just know the biceps because the first trip's always really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you just stand there and go, sun's out, guns out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Sunburn. Many exercises specifically target these muscles, but there are three exercises that can help work multiple paddling muscles in one move. Add them to your workouts to help you get ready for paddling season. If you haven't done these exercises before, try the first two without weights until you can do the movement smoothly and with good form. So if you haven't gone out yet and you're feeling like you're going to die the first mm-hmm. trip like we always yep. do, you might want to get some of these things going. There's three of them. And remember, these come from the people that are connected with Harvard.
Yes, so we're talking sports medicine and...
Smart people.
Yeah, smart people.
Yeah, the old smarticle particles maybe kicking in down
teaching
there.
Teaching Olympians.
Right? So the first one's called the wood chop. Muscles worked are the deltoids, obliques, rectus abdominis, and the erector spinae. Do 8 to 12 reps on each side. Do 1 to 3 sets. You're not getting rectum out of your head in
time. I'm working that rectum muscle.
Rest 30 to 90 seconds between sets. Starting position. Stand with your feet about shoulder width apart. Hold a dumbbell with both hands. Hinge forward at your hips and bend your knees to sit back into a slight squat. Rotate your torso to the right. Extend your arms to hold the dumbbell on the outside of your right knee. Got it?
So it looks like you're chopping wood with an axe, right?
Right.
So you're going down right knee and then down left knee.
Straighten your legs to stand up as you rotate your torso to the left and raise the weight diagonally across your body up to the left above your shoulder while keeping your arms extended. In a chopping motion, slowly bring the dumbbell down across your body towards the outside of your right knee. That's one rep. Finish all reps, then repeat on the other side. This completes the set.
So chopping axes from upper left down to lower right on your knee, yep. and then do a set of those, then from upper right down to lower left on your left knee.
Don't hit your knee.
Yeah.
Because that's it, unless, of course, you're wimping out and need an excuse.
Need somewhere to rest the barbell or the dumbbell.
Tips and techniques. Keep your spine neutral and your shoulders down and back. Reach only as far as is comfortable. Keep your knees no farther forward than your toes when you squat. Make it easier. Do the exercise without a dumbbell. Make it harder. Use a heavier dumbbell.
There you go.
So that's the first one.
Mm-hmm. Chopping wood. Wood chop.
Second one is the bent over row. Muscles worked. Latissimus dorsi, deltoids, and biceps. You know, I got to start finding topics that don't have big words.
or Latin
big words.
Words
or foreign words.
No Latin.
Or, yeah. Reps. Do 8 to 12. Do 1 to 3 sets. Rest 30 to 90 seconds between sets. Starting position. Stand with a weight in your left hand and a bench or sturdy chair on your right side. Place your right hand and knee on the bench or chair seat. Let your left arm hang directly under your left shoulder. Fully extend towards the floor. Your spine should be neutral and your shoulder and hips squared. So basically, you're standing beside a chair.
Yeah.
You got your hand on the back of the chair, your knee on the chair,
yeah.
and your other hand has the dumbbell
and
straight
your,
down.
And your other foot, that foot on that side is
on the ground. Yeah. Squeeze your shoulder blades together, then bend your elbow to slowly lift the weight towards your ribs. Return to the starting position. Finish all reps, then repeat with the opposite arm. This completes one set.
So basically lifting the weight up, straight up into your ribs.
Yep.
Up, up.
Yep. That's easy.
Yeah.
Do that with a six-pack or something. Coming back from the beer store.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tips and techniques. Keep your shoulders squared throughout. Keep your elbow close to your side as you lift the weight, and keep your head in line with your spine. Make it easier? Use a lighter weight or one beer. Make it harder? Use a heavier weight. The next one, the third one they talk about, is called the Superman. Muscles worked, deltoids, latissimus dorsi.
Lats.
The lats. And the erector spinae. Reps 8 to 12, sets 1 to 3, rest 30 to 90 seconds between sets. Starting position, lie face down on the floor with your arms extended, palms like down, and legs extended, just like your Superman. Movement. Simultaneously lift your arms, head, chest, and legs off the floor as hard or as high as is comfortable. Hold. Return to the starting position.
Yeah, you're like doing a worm.
Yeah. It's like planking on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Tips and techniques. Tighten your buttocks before lifting. Don't look up.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to be laughing at you. Keep your shoulders down.
Well, you don't want to curve your spine too much either. You don't want to twist your head up so that you're twisting your spine. You want to just keep looking forward and don't lift your head.
Yeah.
But you want to lift your arms and your legs and your buttocks.
And keep your shoulders down away from your ears.
Yes. Technique.
Keep your shoulders down.
You're curving your, like a bird flying, but you're not lifting your shoulders up. You're just lifting your arms.
But no, your arms are straight ahead.
But you're Supermaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it easier. Lift your right arm and left leg while keeping the opposite arm and leg on the floor.
Cross
switch
technique, yeah.
Sides with each rep. That's easier.
Mm-hmm.
Make it harder. Hold the up position for 3 to 5 seconds before lowering.
Cool. Is there... No. So, yeah, so...
That was it? That was the three of them?
So, to recap, there's the wood chop. You're chopping left to right, right to left. So, and then there's the bent over row. So, mm-hmm. You're just pulling weight up into your ribs with one knee on a... one hand on a chair, lifting the weight up, up into the ribs. And then the Superman, where you're just curving your spine and lifting your hands and mm-hmm. your arms and legs.
Those are three exercises that are supposed to be beneficial to help you get ready for paddling.
What's the old show that was, it was a CBC show. It was like the man and woman always exercised on TV. Remember that?
Well, I mean, there's a 20-minute workout.
Yeah.
And then there was the one with...
Participaction?
Oh, Participaction. Was that the one with Hal Johnson and...
Yeah, Hal and Joanne.
Joanne McLeod.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. But do you remember having to do the participation thing in school to get those badges?
Yeah.
That badges. Was the 70s coming back, huh?
Stinking badges.
Badges and pins. I got a box in that closet. That still has some of those participation patches. Oh. Alrighty, let's talk. Canoes, kayaks, and rafts. The best on the market, apparently.
Is this very recent, is it?
This is recent, 2024. Outside Online, the Outside magazine that's online,
mm-hmm.
They put a bunch of boats through testing to come up with what they think are the best canoes, kayaks, and rafts on the market right now.
Cool.
This minute. As we speak.
This will change next week.
This will change tomorrow. The best raft is the Sotar Rogue Argo, which sells for $3,600 at Ooh. Sotar.
Are we talking whitewater rafting? What do they say it's
yeah,
for?
Yeah, these are the big old rafts.
Okay.
12 foot long. Exterior width is 68 inches. Tube diameter 21 to 17 inches. 4 air chambers, including thwarts. Capacity 675 pounds. Weight 60 pounds. So, yeah, these aren't the ones going down the Colorado.
Yeah.
Something like with, you know, the people in the middle on a chair.
It does say it's big enough for the biggest rapids.
Mm-hmm. But not for like 20 people.
No, yeah. Not 20 people. You're talking just a few people in this.
So a couple of the pros, nimble enough to get through creeks while also big enough for the biggest rapids. And diminishing tubes make it extremely responsive.
What does that mean, diminishing tubes? You mean they're thinner? They thinner on the end, so you get more pointy boat?
More pointy. The con. One con. The guide position is hard to get used to if you have three people paddling.
Hmm. Small craft.
Yeah. Yeah, not for like three or four people, but yeah. Nothing. Not big, big, massive. Yeah. But apparently that's the best raft going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Best canoe is the Esquif Huron 15, $2,100 at REI. 15 feet, 35 inch wide, 55 pounds. The pro is it's durable material, so it doesn't get dings easily. It'll bounce off a rock.
So is this...
You won't get a derrick.
So it's durable. So they're talking, yeah. This is a whitewater.
The Esquif is whitewater. The con can't be loaded with too much gear or it becomes sluggish.
Hmm.
See, that's why I like the prospectors. You could load the crap out of those
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
Right? but yeah, if you're not going on a massive trip or something like that.
Yeah.
Then, the Huron 15, $2,100. Best pack raft, the Alpaca Refuge at $1,325 from Alpaca. Right, go right to them and get one. Length, 87 inches for the medium. Width, 34.5 inches medium. And weight is 6.7 pounds.
7 pounds.
That's not bad. Throw that in your backpack.
Oh, do they say how strong the material is?
Oh, they're pretty good. I mean, you can take these down. These are the ones you do the pack rafting with and the...
Yeah.
Or the... bike rafting.
Because, what I was thinking. Like, I've seen a lot of bike rafting people.
Yeah.
And I always wonder about, all the sharp bits on a bicycle.
Apparently, they're quite good for it.
Hmm.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Mind you, you don't just throw your bike in there either.
No, of course
right?
not. Yeah.
So, pros and cons. The pros. Super lightweight, but very river-worthy as well.
Hmm.
Re-rigging time takes less, takes just 5 minutes.
So, as in, like, so inflating and packed and...
5 minutes. Well, because this one probably comes with the auto inflator, too, right? It's a little pump that you can...
Okay.
Yeah, so you're not sitting there going... yeah, there's not a little tube you got to breathe into.
A manual foot pump or something, maybe.
The con might replace all your other rafts.
Really?
Apparently, they're that good.
Hmm.
Right? Alpaca was one of the ones I was looking at before.
Yes.
But,
Well, their name always comes up. They're known for their rafts.
Yeah.
For pack rafts. They're known for their pack rafts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. Best whitewater kayak is the Piranha Firecracker. $1,700 at Next Adventure.
Not too bad.
$1,700? Mm-hmm. Not bad. 7 foot, 11 inches. 26 inches wide and 41 pounds. You could portage that.
Well, which would be ideal because, and I've done it myself where you got a nice set of rapids you're going to play at for the afternoon and you're going to walk up the portage, run it again, walk up the portage, run it again.
Yeah, it's not like you're carrying a ton of gear. You got you got your paddle and you got your kayak, right? Pros and cons, great for every skill level, and higher knee placement provides comfortable paddling position. Cons.
None.
So all the people that they had testing this.
Yeah, loved it.
None of them found any cons with this. So in that sort of thing, Piranha Firecracker is indeed the best whitewater kayak.
My first whitewater kayak was a Piranha.
I have never had a whitewater kayak.
No?
No.
I had a Piranha, moved on to a Wavesport Ace, and I don't like the Ace. It's got kind of edgy rear end there. It catches water. But I thought about moving to a Jackson, but then I just got out of the sport.
Yeah. Took up canoeing.
And you keep wanting to take my kayak down a snowy hill.
Yeah, but we don't get snow, so. But the minute we do.
Yes.
Best recreational kayak, the Old Town Ocean Kayak Malibu 2XL, $1,200 at Backcountry. That's not bad. 13 feet long, 35 inches wide, weighs 90 pounds. You could portage that, but you sure won't want to. Pros and cons. High weight capacity is a pro. Not for windy conditions is a con.
So it's got tall size, like
No, high weight capacity, but...
But why is it not good for windy?
Two people.
I know,
but... That's just one of the cons they put.
Hmm. Because it's heavy, so you'd think it would be stable in the wind.
Maybe it's stable, but trying to control it.
Yeah.
Right? Best fishing kayak, the Old Town Sportsman Big Water EPDL, so the e-paddle, 132. $6,000 at Backcountry. Okay, $6,000, I am buying myself a new extremely great canoe.
But it does, it's powered though. It's got a battery and a...
Length, 13 feet 2 inches. Width, 36 inches. Weight, 143 pounds.
That's got a battery.
That is so not portageable.
You need wheels.
Right? You need wheels. You need a car to haul that one. Pros and cons. The pros. E-bike technology makes it easy to go against ocean tides while fishing. Lifetime hull warranty. Oh, that's what you need.
Well, it's big and thick and heavy.
You won't be needing to go to Johnny's boat shop with this baby. Cons. Have to cut off the power to go in reverse, which can waste precious seconds when with a fish on the line. Remember, this is a fishing kayak, fishing kayak. So you have to turn the power off if you want to go in reverse.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hooked on to something, you don't want to get too far ahead of it.
Right.
You can learn to deal with that.
Yeah, you'll figure
it out. It's tough to talk about, you know, best canoes and kayaks rafts on the market on a podcast.
Well, if you want the full reviews, like I say, I just thought we'd talk about ones they've chosen, a couple of the pros and cons. But if you want to read the full reviews, go to outdoorsonline.com. Scroll down the main page, you'll find the article there. And each one of these has so much more information. We'd be here for like two podcasts discussing all of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a whole lot more if you've got questions on any of these, on why they thought they were the best and that sort of deal, and anything that they would change and why they would change it, that sort of thing. But outdoorsonline.com to find the best canoes, kayaks, and rafts on the market today.
I've always wanted a pack raft.
You know what? I was been looking at one of those for a few years, but how often, honestly, would you use it around here?
Not a lot.
Like, I don't even know. I mean, I gotta think there's spots near Algonquin you could use it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the rivers up there that have some fast moving water. I mean, when you look at whitewater canoeing and stuff like that, kayak, you wouldn't want, when you see where they're doing that around here,
yeah,
you wouldn't want a pack raft in
there. No.
Right?
But if you're traipsing across to like some, you know, heading up north somewhere, as you want to go from, you know, peak to paddle type mm-hmm. thing, and you want to get across a zone, an area, and you want to go, yeah, I can see where it could come in handy. I've heard about people using these for like a fly-in kayak trip, because, you know, you get four people on a plane, but you can't bring watercraft because right. you can only bring one watercraft on a fly-in.
Unless they're all fold-up.
Yeah, they're all fold-up. So if you want to do a float trip on a northern creek or river that's not too challenging, then a pack raft would be great, right?
Now, when you guys were going down through the Adirondacks and stuff like that, mm-hmm. how many high-altitude lakes did you find?
It was winter.
So none. it just blow up one of them babies, hop in, and you're down in no time.
So we weren't, like, we saw a few mountain peak, like on, what was it, Mount Washington. There's a Cloud Lake or something. Yeah, there's a couple things up there, but everything was frozen, covered in snow.
But in summer.
In summer, it'd be different.
You could go up there and take some time to paddle around. And we talked about that
before.
It'd
be very unique.
Mountain peak lake bagging.
So exactly. And some of these locations, a lot of people, it's a goal for people because there's some unique locations in the mountains out west where you get, golden trout. I can't remember. It's a specific species of trout. Has a really golden color. They're very rare, very unique, and you can only find them in certain lakes. And a lot of the areas might be fished out, but way high in the mountain, you spend 2 or 3 hours hiking up with a pack raft and go for a paddle.
It makes it so much more accessible now, right?
Yeah, it makes it different. It's just something different to try out.
Yeah, I've contemplated and and it's one of those things I think eventually it'll just, you know, I'm just going to bite the bullet and buy one.
Yeah.
And I mean, $1,300. I think that's what it was, right? $1,300?
Yeah, something like that. It's a lot, but it's not.
Is it 13 or 6? No, it was 13, right?
Packraft, 1325.
Yeah, 1325. Yeah, that's U.S. as well.
Yeah. So it's a pretty penny for something that's very specialized.
Yeah. But like I say, I mean, If you're going on a trip and you plan specific thing, I mean, down here, you're not going to go use it every day. But if you've got it, you can sort of add it to your plans, right? Mm-hmm. Your travel trips. And oh, you know what? Yeah, we're going canoe tripping up here. But I'm going to just throw that in because there's that river we can go down and check out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not getting the canoes down there or something, right?
Oh, what's
the river? We're going to hike in somewhere for the day.
There's a new, I wish I could remember the name of it, but it's a river in Quebec. They just put in a new hiking trail, and so you can hike up to the top and whitewater back down. It's not the Noir River, but it's a Quebec river, flows into the Ottawa River, and so it's a full-on trail, campsites, and so on. It's like they just opened it up 3 years ago or something. They had a grand opening there 2 or 3 years ago. And so you can, you know, people are inflatables like a pack raft. They're hiking up and then paddling to the base of it. Martin Garster was telling me about it. He was saying that he wanted to do it. I think he was going to do it last fall, but I don't think he did. I didn't hear about it. But it's a water trail type thing, right?
Not the Des Moines, Riviere Des Moines.
I think it could be the Des Moines. So there's a,
cause Wally Schaber is a big,
he's one of the guys.
I think that's what it is then.
We were asked to go to the grand opening.
Right. Friends of the Des Moines membership. Yeah. We were asked to go there, but you were going one way already and I was going a complete different way.
Yeah, we couldn't make it to the grand opening.
Yeah, he was, I think Kevin Callan went, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know.
Or was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. But that would be a perfect situation if you had a pack raft. Mm-hmm. So you it's like at 7 pounds, an alpaca pack raft, stick it in your pack, and then when you get to the top, like, you don't need a lot of gear. You're going to hike up. You're going to paddle back, go back to your car. So you spend a day or two or three going up, hiking up, and then probably come back down in a couple hours, right, in the afternoon. And it's not terribly challenging whitewater.
No, you just, like I say, you when you're thinking of the back raft, you're thinking of places like Colorado and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where they are.
That's
sort of deal, right? So that's what it was meant for, you know. But I think if you looked hard enough, you could find places. And of course, it would be a few hours north of Toronto, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right? That you could use and probably make a day out of it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know?
But, again, if you can include your bike, mm-hmm. and then you tear your bike down, put it in the front of this thing, and then paddle back to your car sort of deal.
But also,
because that's a big thing, right, is, okay, well, you got one car, so you start here, you go all the way down there. How are you getting back to your car? Well, you do it the other way with a bike. Yeah. You go north. And then paddle and drift south or whatever to your vehicle, right?
But there's also the possibility, like, there's a lot of stock northern lakes. And M&R, they stock a lot of northern lakes right where you turn from cottage country to camp country type thing, right? And so up in that area, like sort of south of Sudbury and North Barrie, and there's a lot of stuff in that area where there's a lot of lakes out there that you'd have to hike into if you wanted to access it.
But I know a lot of the complaints that originally came with these was they were good for river. They weren't good for lakes, like paddling.
Yeah.
Well, you can float.
Yeah.
But paddling is going to be a bit of a drag.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're willing to put the work in.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, it gets you on the water in an area that you couldn't, like,
you couldn't get any other time.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You know what? There's been some smaller lakes that we've bushwhacked to with the canoes. And let me tell you, if I would have been able to just throw a pack raft in my day pack or something.
I don't know if you were on that trip, but it was, I know I was with Marcus. I thought you were there, but we went in, it's right between Hambone and Ralph Bice. It's off to the east and there's a mountainish thing there, but there's a lake on top of the mountain. And, me and Marcus used to always talk about, yeah, if there's ever a nuclear war, we're going to come here and build a log cabin on this lake.
Oh, there's a few log cabins, Marcus, we're going to build in case of nuclear war. Manitou is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but we were on, I think it was Shirley, and there's a small little lake that you got to go up the hill.
Yeah.
There's an unmaintained portage up there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't
do it.
Yeah. Marcus, oh, I'm going to take the canoe. So, okay, buddy, you take the canoe.
There you go, dude.
And we got up there. And by the time we got up there, I think he's ready just to leave the canoe there.
Yeah.
We'll walk it. We'll swim out. So, anyway. So, yeah, go to outdoorsonline.com and you can check out all the information on these boats.
Daydream about your future watercraft that will cause family conflict.
Yeah, do we need pack rafts or do we need a new canoe? Well, I got a new canoe if you can just patch it.
Exactly, which is what I did.
All righty. Here's me. The Pennines, also known as the Pennine Chain and the Pennine Hills, are a range of uplands mainly located in northern England, commonly described as the backbone of England because of its length and position. The range starts near the valley of the River Trent to the south and stretches north, ending at the Tyne Gap. Know where we are now?
Yes.
I know exactly.
I'm visualizing it.
Yeah, I'm visualizing that.
Northern England, yes.
Canoe trips through the UK's longest canal tunnel underneath the Pennines have been launched by Canal and River Trust. So I'm thinking, oh, well, what's this? You know, a little canal thingy. These trips launched by the charity will be a new bucket list opportunity. And anytime I see bucket list, that just piques my curiosity, which will see guided tours by canoe for the very first time through the Standage Tunnel. Tunnel runs for 3.5 miles or 5.5 kilometers underneath the Pennines between Marsden and Diggle in Greater Manchester. So almost a 6 kilometer tunnel under these large hills, small mountain things.
Yeah, I was looking at some photos of this tunnel and it's like there's a lot of brickwork. So they blasted mine tunnel through it and then they lined it with brickwork to support it. And it's just spectacular to see.
Dug by hand, took 17 years to complete in 1811.
So think about this, like back in the day, it's back in the
years
early 1800s, so we went from horse to, hey, we need a easy way to transport stuff. So like the Northern US and Canada and England and Scotland, they're all building these canals because, hey, we're going to move our goods by boat or canal boats.
Yep.
Right. And so that's what this was.
The water highways.
This was right in the middle of that period of where they wanted to build the water highways.
It is described as one of the 7 wonders of Britain's waterways. And as well as being the longest tunnel, it is also the highest and deepest canal tunnel in the UK.
That's pretty incredible.
Now the Canal and River Trust is hoping the money earned from these tours will help fund their work to maintain Britain's waterways. Gordon McMinn of the Trust will lead trips through the tunnel. A volunteer team leader and qualified paddle sports instructor, Mr. McMinn said, "This is a once-in-a-lifetime bucket list opportunity for keen canoeists to paddle through this magnificent tunnel and explore its 3.5 miles. It will give participants a real sense of this remarkable tunnel, one of the 7 wonders of the waterways, which is steeped in history. The trip just emphasizes that life's better by, or in this case, on, the water." Be a total of 18 paddle trips spread over 9 days in June, July, and August. Each trip will take approximately 2 hours and will be one way only from either Marsden to Diggle or vice versa. So when you go online and just Google the Stand Edge Tunnel.
Yeah, Stand Edge as in standing on the edge.
So, but all one word.
Go to Google Images.
Whoa. Yeah. So it's those amazing barges that people live on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they show these going through, and they're just, they're like 3 or 4 feet around.
Yeah.
These barges, there's not much space. Yeah.
And so all these barges were built to move goods back in the day, but now people have bought them up and changed them into homes.
And they live on the water. But you've got to have a light on the back and a good light on the front because these are one way.
Yes.
Or so, yeah, there's no room for anybody to pass.
They must have lights.
So some of these are, some of them are the ones that have turns and that are one way only.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones that you can see straight through.
Yeah.
You have to have the light so boats coming the other way can see that you're coming.
Yeah.
And wait. And then when you come out, if there's no other light, then it's your turn to go through.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah, no, there's no lights in there. There's no nothing. Yeah, I'm looking at these pictures, and it's just like, okie dokie. So if you are, if some of the smaller ones you are allowed to paddle, like this one, you're not allowed to paddle.
Oh, okay.
But there's some of the smaller ones. Like, I mean, there's ones that are 50 feet, 200 feet.
Yeah.
You can see the other side sort of deal. You have to have a good headlamp so that people can see you coming. Like if you're paddling a canoe or something like that. You're not going to get run over by a boat. But yeah, this thing's like 5.5 kilometers long. People aren't going to see you coming. And if it's a boat coming the other way sort of thing, you're getting squinched.
So
there's no way for you to pull to the side and let them pass.
So the Canal and River Trust, but they're going to do a guided tour?
Yep.
So you can go through that long tunnel.
This is what he's saying. It's a bucket list thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to do this again, right? Except on one of these 18 paddle trips. So any participants will make use of the Canal and River Trust's open canoes. It will cost £100 for two people. And I never did the conversion on that. It will be £100 for two people in a tandem canoe or £55 for a solo trip. And the limited places can be booked online at canalrivertrust.org.uk. Yeah, there's a search bar there. It took me a while to find it. They got way too much information on that website. So just go into the search bar and type in paddle Stand Edge, and it'll come up. You can find it there. Are you doing the old?
Yeah, it's $175.
So $175
Canadian.
Canadian. For two people. Sean McGinley, Regional Director of Yorkshire and the Northeast at Canal and River Trust, says, "We're excited to launch a new chapter in the history of Stand Edge Tunnel, a real wonder of the waterways." He adds that this experience is one of the many ways people can help support our work, contributing to the vital funds needed to help us maintain our 2,000-mile network of canals and assets while discovering this amazing treasure under the Pennines. One of the other things they talk about, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce, that big, long aqueduct. Starts with a P.
That rolls.
That starts with a P that you can actually go across.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to stand up paddleboard across it.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Kevin Callan went across it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with Ray Goodwin. But this is part of all this. Some tunnels do allow paddling, but there are regulations that you must follow. And all these are located on the website again. So yeah, for more information on the Canal River Trust and what they do, and to find out more information on where you can paddle, what tunnels you can paddle, because paddling through a tunnel is pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
As long as you know there's not a boat coming at you, because there's nowhere to pull over.
Yes.
Nowhere.
You get crushed.
Unless you're the size of a mouse. just Google them, the tunnels, holy crap, you're going to say.
Yeah.
So for more information on the network, the the regulations and everything, or to book one of these 18, a spot on one of these 18 paddle trips, canalrivertrust.org.uk. It looks cool. And I think this is one of those things if I lived over there,
you'd be doing
it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would definitely throw the money out for something like that. Mind you, I'd do the solo canoe. I wouldn't be paddling with anybody because screw you, man. Because if we're getting taken out, I'm not having you take me out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it myself. Other than that, I don't think I got anything else. Oh, I got a new guitar pick.
Okay.
Viking Revolution.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And why is that so?
Just because it's sitting here. I collect guitar picks sometimes because, you know, this is a good bass guitar pick. I for some reason, they sent it to me when I ordered some new beard product.
Okay.
Beard oil.
A friend of mine, she does sculling and you know, the whatever.
Rowing.
Yeah, rowing.
Yeah.
And she says on the docks all the time. She's up to about 8 or 9 guitar picks now, just picking them up at the dock where
really?
She loads into the kayak.
People out there on the dock playing guitars?
Yeah, I guess. She says she's...
Are they sitting on the dock of the bay?
She often...
Oh! Anyway. Gotta be quick, buddy.
Yeah. Barb's found quite a few guitar picks.
Yeah. No, they usually throw a sticker in, and then this time, like... A guitar pick. That's pretty cool. I'm going to use this one. You got anything else?
That's it.
That's it?
We covered it all.
Excellent.
For now.
Excellent. So now that you've got your canoe back, we can go out and do some local paddling.
Yes,
here.
We can. We got to do that. We got to get that thing in the water.
Yeah. About time. Make sure.
I'd meant to get
make it, sure it works.
Meant to get it in the water when we're up there in Huntsville. We were going to go some local place or whatever, Ragged
Falls.
Well,
you could have just gone right across from Algonquin Outfitters.
We could have. We looked at people getting into the water, but we had to get Stella back for stuff, and she had a sleepover, and we didn't get out of the house till late, and so it was up there and back.
See, I doing something like that, I'm out of the house at crack of stupid.
Yeah.
And
We should have been.
See? You follow my travel rules, my friend, and your day would have been complete. Next time.
Yeah.
All righty then.
All the life jackets and paddles are still in the back of my car.
You're prepared.
I'm ready to go over the next time.
You're ready to go over the next time. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X sometimes. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com. You can stream or download all our episodes there. And if you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.